the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, before I go any further on this particular article, it's important that people know that something I said a couple of days ago is true. The United States is the de facto lord of aviation worldwide. You know, if you are going to go on a flight, any international flight, you have to speak English. The air controllers are going to use American standards. Your feet's going to be reported, your altitude is going to be reported in feet, not in meters. The air density is going to be, for your barometric pressure, is going to be conveyed in inches of mercury. So the United States controls really almost all aviation travel, which is why I said it was so odd that internationally flights would be flying through and above Donetsk, particularly since and after it had become obvious that the Kiev regime was using its air force to pummel the pro-Russian separatists in Donetsk, and that the ethnic Russians were responding by firing missiles at military aircraft and successfully bringing them down. So for the United States to not intervene and say, we want to route all traffic above or below the Donetsk region while the Kiev government is using its air force to pummel the freedom fighters, and that the freedom fighters are defending themselves with surface-to-air missiles, it's not smart to fly over that region. But the United States didn't do squat. Almost as if the United States said, you know, these boys, because we're paying for the Ukrainians to deploy their air force against those who want to disassociate themselves from Kiev, because we're equipping them with the ability to do that. We're funding their air force, and we know that that the ethnic Russians are going to respond by protecting their people, by bringing them down with missiles. This is a real opportunity for a propaganda gain. So we're just going to allow, in fact, encourage airlines to fly right over Donetsk. But then when it comes to Israel, where the Hamas doesn't have surface-to-air missiles, where Hamas is shooting unguided rockets, the difference between a guided missile and an unguided rocket is night and day. The odds of hitting a flying aircraft with a unguided rocket, the way that these Hamas rockets are being dispensed, is one in a billion. Maybe one in 100 billion. And yet the Tel Aviv airport was closed by the FAA to all American carriers. Let's lash out at Israel. Let's punish Israel. Let's the U.S. government do the wrong thing and claim that, we're looking out for the safety of the American flyer. Bull. The Hamas regime doesn't have guided missiles. They have unguided rockets. They are night and day different. They're a long way from bringing down an aircraft in Tel Aviv. And yet we're going to stop flights from America on American carriers going into Tel Aviv, and yet we're not going to direct flights away from Donetsk, where we know that unlike Hamas, which does not have an air force, the Kiev regime does, and the Kiev regime is using it to bomb the people of Donetsk, and we know that the people of Donetsk have come up with missiles to defend themselves against the Kiev regime's use of airplanes, and there we're going to encourage commercial airliners to fly. But in Tel Aviv, where none of that is the case, we're going to prevent it. What is the United States afraid of? That Muslims are going to hit a commercial airlines and that all of a sudden the world's going to turn their wrath against Islam and sympathy towards Israel? And this is pure, unadulterated hypocrisy. It's complete and utter ignorance. You cannot have constantly a government deliberately, purposefully, continually making the wrong judgment day after day unless that government is genuinely opposed to what is right. Welcome to the United States. Delta Airlines took off right after the idiot making this decision for the Federal Aviation Administration that they couldn't fly into Gaza. You couldn't fly into Tel Aviv. At one flight landed in Paris. Only El Al, the Israeli airline, is continuing to fly into Tel Aviv. Now, the airport in Tel Aviv is located 50 miles north of Gaza. 50 miles. The likelihood of Hamas sending one of their unguided rockets 50 miles and it hitting an airplane, I mean, it isn't one in 100 billion. It's even less than that. I mean, we're absolutely lost our mind. Those who work for the U.S. government have become nincompoops. The Tel Aviv, they're comparing it, of course, to what happened with the commercial airliner in Donetsk. And yet, it is apples and oranges. In fact, apples and oranges aren't fair because they're both fruit. This second article on the same topic says, dealing a blow to Israel's economy, already reeling from a spat of tourism cancellations, the Federal Administration, or Aviation Administration, the FAA, took the rare step of banning U.S. carriers from flying to or from Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. They said, because a rocket fired from Gaza struck within several miles of the airport. It's a rocket. It's not a missile. I mean, how could you be that stupid? I mean, to be the head of the FAA and you don't know the difference between an unguided rocket and a surface-to-air missile. Israel launched its own official offensive on July 8 to halt the missile south. This says to halt missile salvos from Gaza. I mean, the person writing the article is now calling them missile salvos. They're not missile salvos. They're rocket salvos. They're not guided missiles. This is not a surface-to-air missile. This is a very crude rocket. Wow. The FAA said it would continue to monitor and evaluate the situation. You've got nincompoops. What are the nincompoops going to do? I mean, I'd be surprised if they can read. Are they going to sit there and say, oh, let's see, I want to check and see. Well, yeah, another one of those there rockets. They fired another 1,000 rockets from Gaza. And the closest they got is a mile or so from the airport. So, yeah, let's keep it closed. That'll work. We'll make our president happy. Palestinian militants have fired more than 2,000 rockets toward Israel. At least this person knows that they are rockets. But they haven't fired more than 2,000. Well, I guess they have fired more than 2,000. They've fired more than 2,000 in the last 2 days. And several heading toward the area of the Ben Gurion Airport. Yeah, several have headed north. Most have been intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome defense system. What Israel does is if they track these rockets. Now, Israel does have missiles. They track the rockets. If the rocket's trajectory, because they're unguided, is going to land back in Gaza, which many of them do, they just let them go. If the rocket's trajectory is going to land in an open area, they don't waste the missile. If the rocket's trajectory is such that it is likely to land in a place that is inhabited, they will shoot it down. The airlines and passengers are growing more anxious about safety since last week when a Malaysia Airliner jet was shot down over the Ukraine, killing 298 people on board. Airlines have rerouted planes to avoid the area over the eastern Ukraine where the Soviet-based pro-Soviet separatists are battling the Ukrainian army. Pro-Soviet, huh? Pro-Soviet. I mean, this article was written today. Pro-Soviet. I mean, have they paid any attention to what's happened in the last 20 years? It's not they're pro-Soviet. They're pro-Russian. And we're dealing with a situation where the adversarial government is using military aircraft to bomb civilians, and the civilians are responding with missiles to bring those aircraft down in one area, and we didn't restrict flights there, versus an area where you have a group of thugs firing unguided rockets that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if they were 10 feet from it. Good grief. This is an interesting article. It was, I believe it's posted by the Washington Post, but it was major news service. Maybe the International Herald, could have been CNN, but I don't think it was CNN, but top international news service. And what they're saying here is the same thing I have been saying now ever since the day that the aircraft was brought down. I mean, if you know, Glenn called the program, and said and announced that an aircraft, commercial aircraft, had been hit over the Donetsk region. And during the, right at the end of the segment, and during the commercial break, I was able to research what was available to be known about what occurred. And during the next segment, everything that I presented is what we know today. Nothing. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We have Glenn on the line. Glenn, I did invoke your name here at the end of the last segment, but before I we go to why I invoked your name, since you are a student of words, I thought it was interesting that an article penned today by a major news source said pro-Soviets are battling the Ukrainian army. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just not with it. I mean, I had always thought that Soviet spoke of the committees, the way that the socialist government and Russia was established, so that the political committees, if you were called Soviets. And if that was the case, then, of course, the pro-Soviet would be a extraordinarily stupid statement by the journalist, because now we're dealing with Soviet communist era nomenclature. And I did look up the word Soviet. It is derived from a Russian word meaning council, assembly, advice, or concord. It is from a proto-Slavic verbal stem. You know, almost all nouns are defined by the actionable form of the word, which means to talk and to speak. So Soviet is the talk and the speak of Soviet, of the Soviets, which are the councils of the old Soviet Union. The term is completely inappropriate to be used in and they used it as a capital S, Soviet separatists, pro-Soviet separatists. But we really are in a world of stupidity, aren't we?
Yes. How appropriate that I have laryngitis today.
Boy, yeah, you are really, really screwed up. What I said, and I do want to hear what you have to say, and I'm going to be quiet because you're not going to be able to speak very clearly or loudly today. But the reason I brought up your name was that I'm going to share an article about what we actually know about who shot down the airplane and what evidence we have. And what's interesting is that you announced that the plane had been shot down while during the show within 5 minutes of the time that the act had occurred. And it was right at the end of a segment, and I went and began to research who did it and what probably brought it down. And that same day, what I reported is basically what we have come to know. We haven't come to know anything more than what I reported that afternoon, which means that it is really disingenuous for Lurch, Secretary of State Kerry, to have said that we have overwhelming evidence that the Russians coordinated this, supplied it, and oversaw it, and were complicit in it, because we really don't have any more information than I shared on the program minutes after you reported that it happened.
Right, but everybody's vilifying Putin today. They're all piling on. Everybody's piling on as though they know for sure all these cowardly legislators coming on the culpable news network, you know, acting real tough because if they have them over a barrel, and we really don't know.
The thing that really bugs me about it is, let's just say that although all of the evidence right now says that the ethnic Russians got their hands on a Buk surface-to-air missile system from an arsenal under the control of the Ukrainian government just outside of Donetsk, and they did so on June 29th, and there's all sorts of pictures and articles of them standing next to the Buk system that they captured. And it didn't say if there was one or many of them that they captured from that particular storage facility. But there they are, and that was June 29th. And immediately thereafter, the number of Ukrainian Air Force aircraft that are being brought over Donetsk to bomb and to attack the people there are falling out of the sky. So they clearly have got a vastly more sophisticated means to bring down aircraft, and they were doing so because of the belligerence of the Kiev government. And it was just obvious to me that when you realize that they had this weapon, that they were successfully bringing down the Air Force of Kiev, which was being sponsored by and being paid for by the United States of America to be used against the civilians of Donetsk, that they mistook the commercial airliner for another cargo plane that was filled with troops previously. And while I can't prove that it was the separatists that pulled the trigger, that is the most logical assumption from the evidence. And that being the case, this is nothing but an accident. And it's an accident that was caused because the United States caused a civil war in the Ukraine. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with Glenn about politicians piling on. You know, it's interesting to me, Glenn, that the United States in particular is almost gleefully reenacting the Cold War. I mean, it was the last war America won. And so it's like, okay, we get a chance to fight the Cold War again. We were raised on this. We know how to fight this war. And so let's use propaganda to reengage in the Cold War to further pile on Russia. I mean, my guess is the journalist was talking to a politician when they, probably somebody from the FAA, when they overheard Soviet, because the government official was using it.
It's ridiculous. It's one person. If they can brush Putin aside, they can get Medvedev to be much more conciliatory. And, you know, Putin's a thorn in their side. They can massive world globalist Western control. They might even be able to break up the BRICS bank thing if they can get Putin out of the way.
You know, here's
I should give up. I should give up. I had more voice.
Yeah, your voice is really weak, and it's painful to have to hear you try so hard. As a host of a talk program where it's essential to have bright callers that can articulate an intelligent, well-informed position, I am selfishly hoping that you get better. And somebody who's come to like you as an individual, I unselfishly am hoping that you get better. The thing that really bothers me about this is that it's all based upon propaganda and revisionist positioning. It's as if Americans, the politicians, recognize that the average American is so poorly informed and so irrational that they're going to buy into the rhetoric and that they won't question it, that Americans won't realize that the region being called the Ukraine was part of Russia for 300 years, that they speak Russian, they were educated in Russian, that anyone over 20 years of age was a Russian citizen, that this experiment where after the fall of the Soviet Union and the demise of the Soviet Union, that because the Soviet Union was a belligerent and unproductive nation as a communist experiment, those who lived under communism and socialism and collectivism and central control wanted freedom. So it's not surprising that many areas voted to separate themselves from that Soviet experience. And this country now called the Ukraine was formed. Now, it was never all the Ukraine. Much of it was called Donetsk for years. And it has been a wholly failed experience. Completely failed. I mean, they've had two revolutions thus far, and they're completely bankrupt economically. This is a region that has the same population of France. Now, France isn't exactly stellar from an economic point of view, but they have the resources, and they had the manufacturing infrastructure and the agricultural resources to be vastly more productive than France. And yet they produce 5% of what France produces. Economically, politically, it has been a completely failed experience, the Ukrainian experience separated from Russia. The only rational solution has been for a long time to reintegrate the Ukraine back into Russia. They are $30 billion in debt. The International Monetary Fund continues to loan them money, and they renege on the terms. They're routinely dishonest. And the reality is they're also dependent upon Russian gas and oil. And while they're part of Russia, and particularly since their manufacturing was so weapons-oriented, while they're part of Russia, they have a built-in market. And the Russians have every incentive to cut them a sweet deal, a favorable deal on gas and oil. But if they're not part of Russia, Russia's going to sell them gas and oil at world prices. It's going to sell them based on international letter of credit. They're not going to give them any credit because they've reneged on paying them time and time again. And the Russians were willing to float the Ukrainian economy so long as business was done with Russia. But you see, Americans wanted the Ukraine to be part of NATO. They were still fighting the Cold War. And so the American State Department and CIA instigated this last round of riots. You can listen on YouTube as U.S. State Department talking amongst themselves, encouraging the separatists to overthrow the government. Popularly elected government, the United States was, with its CIA and State Department, trying to overthrow it. They got it overthrown. And then the United States went in recognizing it was bankrupt, that it had no military capability at all anymore, that it had no economy anymore, and said, you know, don't take that $25 billion the Russians are offering you. Take the $30 billion from us. And we created the illusion of a country again with American money. And then we told the Ukrainians to go after the pro-Russian separatists. Don't let them vote to separate. Yes, your vote to separate from the Soviet Union, that one counts. But the votes of 97% of the Crimeans to separate from you, that doesn't count. The votes of 95% of the ethnic Russians in Donetsk to separate from you, that vote doesn't count. Go pummel them. That's our new strategy. We'll fund your military. Go use it. And we will supply you with military advice. We'll supply you with military components. We'll fund your bankrupt military. You go after them. And then if Russia were to do the moral thing and protect ethnic Russians, its citizens, from the belligerence of the United States and the thugs in Kiev, then the U.S. was in a position to fight the Cold War all over again, condemning the Russians for the very battle that we created. And if you think this is a stretch, why don't you look at what happened in Afghanistan? Remember when Jimmy Carter said we're not going to go to the Moscow Olympics because of the horrible war that the Soviets had perpetrated on the poor people of Afghanistan? When the United States knowingly and deliberately and purposefully rented the Taliban from Pakistan and provided them with $5 billion worth of arms, including surface-to-air missiles to bring down Russian airplanes? We started the war. We supplied Pakistanis with the weapons to bring down the Soviet-backed government. We do this all the time. The United States turned a peaceful protest in Syria into a civil war by arming the jihadists. We armed both sides in Iraq and created that civil war. We do it all the time. The United States provided surface-to-air missiles to the Mujahideen in Libya to overthrow Gaddafi. We do it all the time. The United States is clearly the belligerent in the Ukraine. And yet, the rhetoric of the United States has got the whole world believing that it's really Putin. Putin bad. Oh, Putin is supplying all of this. If he was, he would be doing the right thing. You know, it's one thing to supply people weapons to take over their government. It's another thing to supply people weapons to defend them from their government. And in the case of Donetsk, even if that is what Putin is doing, he's doing the right and merciful thing. Now, the fact is that Lurch, Secretary of State Kerry, came out and said that he had overwhelming proof that the Russians supplied that weapon, that they trained the people who fired that weapon, and that they're culpable, they're responsible for deliberately bringing that airplane down. Bull. The amount of evidence that exists is the same evidence that existed once this initially happened. There is a conversation between separatists, those who don't want to be part of the thugs in the Ukraine, who are despicable, saying that they downed an aircraft. And then there's conversation when they went to the site of the downed aircraft. You could hear the misery in their voice. And they recognized that this was not a military aircraft. There were no weapons aboard, or women and children. It was an accident. It was an accident that was eminently foreseeable, an accident that was actually put in place by the United States to happen. It's very much like the United States coordinating the sailing of the Lusitania for the express purpose of it being sunk. The United States didn't sink it. We just arranged for it to be sunk for this exact purpose. It was a terrible accident. And while I am not a fan of anyone associated with Ukraine, they are amongst the most anti-Semitic nation on earth. The two greatest atrocities in the Holocaust both occurred in Ukraine. They have just devastated the Jewish population in the Ukraine. I am no friends of anyone there. But I am an enemy of propaganda and of deceit, particularly when it pushes the world to war. And the fact of the matter is, all we know is we have fuzzy pictures we have one real clear picture of the rebels getting control at a former Ukrainian base outside of Donetsk of a bulk missile launcher, and maybe more than one. We know they got them on the 29th. We know that there are many separatists fighting the Kiev government that were part of the Russian army, because 20 years ago it was part of Russia. And anyone that's 40 years old or over would have served in the Russian army and would have been trained on this equipment. And we know that many were in the Ukrainian military, but were ethnic Russians and have left the Ukrainian military to fight against it, who would have been trained on these weapons. It's obvious what happened. Here's the reality. We have a extraordinarily clean, and if I could say a professional picture that's taken of the ethnic Russians seizing a Buck, one or more operative Buck missile systems just outside of Donetsk on June 29th. The picture was picked up by news services. So we know that for certain. Everything else we have is blurry and conjecture. There's two pictures of Buck missile systems that are shot extraordinarily blurry, where you have no idea, A, under whose control they are, separatists or the Ukrainian government. You have no idea where they are. You have no idea where they're going. And the U.S. wants the world to believe that those pictures prove that they're going back to Russia, or that they came from Russia. No. They're two very blurry pictures, and where they are is unidentified. When the shots were taken is unknown. And where they're going is obviously unknown. Then the United States will say, there's a convoy of 150 Russian military armored personnel carriers and tanks and the like that we spotted near the Russian border. Yeah, well, the Russians have Russian military hardware in Russia. Okay, so why is that pertinent? There's no picture of them crossing the border. None. It's just pure supposition. Now, the fact is that the border between Donetsk and Russia is not like the border between the United States and Mexico, where we have the 15-foot wall of steel. Most places there is not even an identification of where the border is. There was no reason to have a designation of the border. It was part of Russia. It's farmland mostly, open rural terrain, sparsely populated. There's all sorts of just dirt roads. It would be as likely for the pro-Russian freedom fighters in Donetsk to take weapon systems that were part of the Russian military, that were also part of the Ukrainian military, that they have confiscated from the Ukrainian government, and take them across the border to protect them, and then bring them back across when they want to be deployed to protect their people, as it would be for anything else. The only thing that is absolutely certain, I would say as close to being certain as possible, is that the United States started the civil war that's taking place in the Ukraine, that we are funding and encouraging, paying for the Kiev government to use its military to attack the pro-Russian separatists. We do not know if Russia is helping them defend themselves. We don't know. If they were, that would be moral. It would be appropriate. We don't know who shot down the airplane, but the most likely scenario is that it would have been shot down by the pro-Russian separatists. There is no indication of any kind that the Russians aided and abetted the shooting down of the airplane. And there's absolutely all evidence says that it was a mistake, a tragic mistake, but a mistake that was made possible because of the war that America started. And so that's the truth. This idea of trying to isolate Putin as he's the bad guy is this simple idea of the ad hominem argument in extreme. We're going to make Putin out to be horrible. The fact is that, well, Putin probably isn't a nice guy. And Putin certainly is an autocrat. Putin's a nationalist. He does not have international visions. Never had international visions. His only interest is what is in the best interest of his people. He's very approachable from that point of view. That's why he's loved in Russia. He's not a villain. That doesn't mean he's a good guy. It's just that he's not a villain. He's a nationalist. He's not an internationalist. And Russia is an extraordinarily important part of the world. They have control of the largest reserves of gas in the world. They're a supplier of gas to Europe. If it weren't for Russia, the world would be wholly dependent on the OPECers, and Islamic terrorism would rage around the world. The Russians have, if Europe and the United States want to, now Europe's not going to, but if the United States wants to continue to slap sanctions on Russia, well, they've signed the largest trade deal probably in the modern era with Iran.